Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Andy's getting randy. Andy's getting horny. Andy's getting wet in his dacks.
Wow, that was beautiful synergy of, like, you know, the instrumental section that I was doing, and then the lyrics that you were contributing. We really were the Elton John and the other guy of that arrangement.
Costello.
Yes. Tim Rice.
You know, it'd be great. Great musical duos.
Yes.
From the ages.
Mm.
Right? Split up. And each one is paired up with a guy from a great comedy duo.
You know what that...
And I just want you to know that I mean gals as well, eh?
I think that would be really, really interesting. So we're talking like a Paul Simon and a David Mitchell.
Stan Laurel. Yeah, David Mitchell.
Who was your guy? Andy Warhol?
No, I said Stan Laurel.
Stan Laurel. Yeah, yours is better. A lot better.
No, I think what was yours again?
David Mitchell.
the other one? Art Garfunkel?
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon. Yeah.
Cuz I think that
I think it'd be interesting to see what Paul Simon does with David Mitchell.
Mm. Because we've already seen Paul Simon in that that film clip with Chevy Chase. That song. And it would be interesting to see what medium they worked in, whether or not they tried to do a song or tried to do a comedy bit or tried to do something that's exactly in between, you know, like paint a sculpture or something like that.
Paint a sculpture. Yeah. So they find a pre-made sculpture and just paint it together.
This is an as yet unexplored art form, which is painting over sculptures. You treat the sculpture like you would the canvas, and you know, I don't know if you go along to some art supply store and they have a range of standard sculptures that you can buy.
The only time you see that is, like, you know, there's like fiberglass cows all over the place that people have painted.
You're right. You're right. I think it's already been done. But that and those little gnomes that people have in the garden.
Yeah.
But
I think, you know, what about those, like, you know, Paul Simon and David Mitchell paint those lion statues people have at the entrance of their driveways.
Mm. Mm.
I mean, that's an interesting project.
I think it is. They're both at really interesting stages of their career. Paul Simon's at the stage where he's, I don't know, probably in a hospital or something. David Mitchell's at that stage where he's not really doing that much of his own work. He's just sort of appearing on panel shows and talking in that voice he has.
And I think he does a show where looks like he's dressed as Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah. Upstart Crow. That's a Ben Elton sitcom.
Oh, wow.
That's another, you know, interesting stage of a career. While we were talking about that, I think that could very well be a sketch idea, Alistair. You know, it's sort of like, you know, that comedy duo, that singing comedy duo, Garfunkel and Oates. They've done that thing of, like, taking the two less good people from the duos and putting them together. But we're taking people from totally different fields, and I like that. I like that a lot.
And we get them to make something.
Yeah. It's like fusion cuisine. It's
but it's fusion art. Mm.
And but I did have another idea while you were while we were talking about that, which was, imagine getting a Picasso, you know, and tearing it up into strips, and then using that to make a papier-mâché sculpture. And I wonder to what extent the greatness of the Picasso, even if you weren't a particularly good sculptor, whether or not the greatness of the Picasso would elevate your work, whether it would make, you know, where the resulting work would fall on the spectrum of art. Would it be exactly as good as your bad sculpture? Would it be somewhere between the quality of your regular bad sculpture and the work of Picasso? Or would it be even better than the work of Picasso? By, you know...
Yeah.
But is it in some way cumulative? And then I had another idea.
You see... yeah.
Which was to get that Picasso and to blend it up into a smoothie and drink it.
Yeah.
And...
And... Would that I mean, that would be work as a work of art, of performance art.
Yeah, but I want you to do it, but not as performance art. I just want it to be a smoothie. I don't want it to be art in any way. I don't know how we make sure that it's not art in any way. That it's just a smoothie, okay?
There needs to be like a thing that's like a Faraday cage.
Mm.
But that prevents things from being art in there.
And maybe that Faraday cage is reality television. Put it on commercial TV, and then it can't it can't possibly be art.
That's good. I mean,
put it on at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday on Channel 7. That's not art.
And if it's there, then it's not art.
I suppose the way to do it would be to blend it up. Have the person, you know, like you would do a double blind test in science. You have it blended up by somebody who doesn't know what they're blending up, and you have the smoothie drunk by somebody who doesn't know what they're drinking. And then you never tell either of them that that's what's happened, and you don't tell anybody else that that's what's happened as well. It's just a thing that occurs somewhere in the world, but it's impossible to observe. You can tell people that it's happened, but I think as long as there's no chance that anybody saw it or that anybody could document it in any way, then it can't be art. Does that make sense? Like, you know, tree falls in a forest.
Yeah, but then just the idea that you've done it kind of makes it art, though.
I don't.
You would have to maybe kill yourself. Or wipe your memory. But then, when somebody tracks down what you did before you killed yourself, they're going to realize what it was, and they're going to say it's art.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe you killing yourself will be like Van Gogh, and it'll make it greater art. And especially because the fact by it becoming greater art made your death even more pointless than it already was, making it even greater art still. And then it just exponentially feeds back on itself, becoming greater and greater and greater art until, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe we use it to generate electricity or something.
Until somebody blends up this idea and drinks it on commercial TV.
Yes. And we can finally put a stop to this fiasco.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've written down do stuff with Picassos and make a smoothie and put it on commercial TV so it's not art. I mean, it's not the clearest of premises, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I think we'll find something in there.
Yeah, there's got to be something. I certainly talked a lot. There must be something in there.
You know, there is an artist who just buries planes.
Yeah, that's great.
He leaves no mark of it. There's no plaque or anything like that. He just finds a place.
Really?
Buries a plane there.
Oh,
he gets people to help him.
Oh, man.
Buries a plane.
Yeah.
And then it's just like people just know, like, there's a plane there. But people got to tell you.
Planes underground. That's art. You know?
Yeah.
Putting something where it's not supposed to be. That's fucking art, mate.
Oh. good, isn't it?
It's really
it's like
good.
A train. Train in the
train
sky.
Train in the sky.
Oh.
Bury it in the sky.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like, there's not enough artists, I think, who just don't give a fuck like that.
Mm.
Like, and when I mean don't give a fuck, I mean, I don't mean like they're cool. I mean, they don't give a fuck about the quality of what they do.
Mm. You think that that like person that. Doesn't? That you think the person burying planes doesn't give a fuck about the quality of what they do?
No, I think that person does.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
But I think, but the person who tries to get a train in the sky,
mm.
he doesn't give a fuck.
I think that the ultimate version of that would be getting sky underground, and I'm not talking about a cave. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking underground sky. I don't know how we pull it off. Like, it feels like you should be able to catch a bunch of sky somehow in a big bag and bury that. And maybe that's all it is. And I'm not talking carbon sequestration, which is a totally different prospect. No.
And you're not talking about like just getting a bunch of mirrors and reflecting the sky underground?
Oh, maybe I am. I do kind of like that. If you could get some kind of if you could make that work with mirrors working exactly in such a way that you can stand underground and you've managed to reflect the sky from the ground above all the way down and under, that's gotta be art. Gotta be good.
Oh, man. You know,
the sky underground. I'd
love to dig a hole.
Mm.
Yeah, underground sky. But that's more of an art piece, though, isn't it? Rather than a sketch.
Yeah, you're right. Can I tell
you? We can't write that down.
Can I tell you then one other thing that I've written down a while ago? We know that there's a smoothie, right? But why are there no chunkies? You know?
Oh, you see, now we're talking.
Why can't you?
Now, they do it. They do it with peanut butter.
They're, yeah,
that's essentially a chunky, but they call it a crunchy, so it sounds better.
Yeah. I mean, a chunky joint would have to be a place that's like a smoothie place, but where instead...
But they serve vomit?
well, in a manner of speaking, they do, Alistair, because at a smoothie place, they take things that are chunky, really, and they process them such that they become very smooth.
Oh.
And I feel that a chunky joint would take existing liquids and would...
Yeah, like soups.
Like soups, although some of those are already chunky, but, you know, smooth soups or even just milk or whatever, and treat it in such a way that they introduce chunks, whether that be by dehydrating portions of it and then mixing them back in or burning it. Maybe, and then scraping it off the bottom.
Or microwaving like a thin amount of it for too long.
Yeah, get that film going.
And then breaking that up into the bigger pod. But also, I think that you could be serving there, chunkies, just to make it an extra special place.
Mm-hmm.
After you've added the chunks,
yep.
You also serve these savory sort of soups that are now have chunks in them, but you serve them cold.
Well, maybe body temperature, you know, just so
body temp,
because I feel if they're cold you're doing them a favor a little bit, because the coldness actually reduces the flavor a little bit, and there won't be that little waft of smell that comes off quite as much, whereas if it's just a little bit warm, just like some fresh vomit, there's that aroma that's released. And that's the full experience that you get at Chunky's. That's the name of the chain. you can BYO to Chunky's as well. And our slogan is "We'll chunk it." And
this is somebody who sort of, I guess it's a bit producer style, but before here in Australia, right? Before they announced that they had the JobKeeper thing, right? That would help businesses pay their staff during the pandemic.
Yep.
Imagine there was a little bit of insider knowledge, and this guy decides to create a very unsuccessful business. Mm. So that he, even if he opens, he never has to do any work. Right?
It's really good.
And so that he and a couple of friends can get the $1,500 a fortnight. Mm.
I think you've got to demonstrate some sort of drop in sales because of coronavirus. So what you'd need is some initial capital to pay people to come in and buy the appalling produce at Chunky's, just so that you can get that revenue to start with, so that when coronavirus comes through, you can have that real plunge. And then
March, you do it all March 31.
After that, baby, it's all right. Gravy. And by gravy, I mean chunky gravy soup.
Chunky gravy. I mean, look, I'm writing down Chunky's.
Yeah, great. And, you know, it's part of the challenge is that, like, we guarantee that any liquid you bring in, we can chunk it. You know, whether it's just pure.
What if they bring in a glass of water?
Yeah, well, we'll freeze bits of that water. You know.
Or do you think they could just add, like,
bread,
just gelatin-y type things? Like, they take the flavor out of some gummy bears. Mm. And...
yeah, we take the flavor out of gummy bears. We found that was the best. That's actually the cheapest way.
Oh, it'd be easier to probably get just the gummy bears before they get flavor. They'd probably be cheaper.
I wonder if you could sell a flavorless gummy bear.
Oh, I think it's a good idea. I would eat a flavorless gummy bear because you're just getting that gummy bear for the texture.
Well, then this is a totally new idea, Alistair, and it is it's a supermarket that only sells textures. All the food, its only property is texture. It's all flavorless. We have all the same ingredients, all the same products as a regular supermarket, but none of them have flavor.
Oh, see, I like this.
And it's so, like, Blandies.
Flavorless milk. Eh?
It's Blandies. It's called Blandies.
Blandies.
Flavorless milk. Yeah, you're right. Because milk does have a flavor. You know, it's milk flavor. Yeah. You talk about flavored milk. Yeah. I'll tell you what, regular milk's already flavored milk. It's flavored like
already
milk.
Already bloody flavored.
This is a bloody
it's got
joke.
Milk flavor.
And
yeah.
And then obviously we'd have a flavorless ice cream. You know, we'd truly be able to, because. And we're talking plain.
Oh, yeah.
Most people think plain ice cream is vanilla. No, sir.
Yeah, but that's not. That's a flavor.
That's quite an exotic flavor.
When you think about it,
yeah.
it's like one plant in a billion that exist. Mm.
And it's,
you know, a billion types of.
And I think it's from Sri Lanka, maybe? Right? And you go back to the 1400s, and you tell some spice merchant who's trekked... on camel and canoe and buffalo train all the way from the subcontinent, and staggers into London, and with his bushel of
five vanilla beans in his hand,
and you say, "Oh, good, plain. Now finally we can eat things that taste plain." No, thank you.
Vanilla rice would probably be really good, wouldn't it? You've had coconut rice. What about vanilla rice?
Vanilla rice would be really good. I reckon it'd be better than coconut rice. But now that I've painted that picture of the man from the subcontinent, is there a sketch in that? Maybe a short film?
I think that is
in
Yeah.
You know, and now we use vanilla as a synonym for things that are boring. You know, I was a bit vanilla. Mm-hmm. You know what I think is a more boring flavor than vanilla? Strawberry. I'm just saying it. I think what strawberry mostly tastes like is just sweet.
Yeah. Then it might not be proper strawberry, but
yeah.
But I do see where you're going in that you're trying to find something more plain than vanilla.
Thanks, Alistair. Thanks for at least seeing where I'm going, if not trying to help me get there. Well, you know, here I am, both legs broken, crawling towards the door of the hospital. And you say, yeah, I see where you're going. I see where you're going.
You know what they should do?
I at least...
if they just had salt-flavored ice cream.
Oh, yes.
You see, that could be pretty plain because it's a flavor enhancer.
Yeah.
But when there's no flavor.
Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about this in the past, that really the plain flavor then is the flavor of finger. You know?
Or tongue?
Or tongue. Maybe tongue. Yeah. Just salt flavored ice cream.
Maybe salted water? Like a salted iced water?
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Gelato? Which one's the one that doesn't have milk in it? Gelati or gelato?
Sorbet.
Sorbet.
A salt sorbet.
Salt sorbet. Hello. We're salt sorbet.
We're going to be doing some sketches for you tonight. Our first sketch is Spice Merchant traveling with Vanilla to be told that it's just plain.
Now, you're going to have to imagine a fair few of the modes of transport in this one, as we were unable to get our camel tested and tagged before the start of the festival.
Or buffalo train. Did you say buffalo train before?
Yeah, I might have said buffalo train.
Were you picturing... I guess you were just picturing a few buffalo in a sort of tied nose to tail or whatever they do.
Oh, maybe it's bullock. I think it's bullock. There is one of those that is like called a bullock train. I think,
yeah, right.
And I think the word train might predate the steam engine that you're picturing. Because you could have a train.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few things like that. I heard the other day where they were saying that the word career comes, it was originally just used on horses.
Right. What, that they're careering around? Just,
I guess, oh yeah, but...
Or is that careening?
Maybe that they had... No, I think that they had a career.
The horse.
Had it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I never thought about that. Well, I guess they have. Yeah, good on them. Making something of themselves.
Yeah.
Why the long resume, you know?
What?
I guess I just couldn't settle down.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Oh, he's saddle down?
Saddle down, hello.
Oh, right. Saddle down. All right. Mid-16th century, denoting a road or race course from French carrière, from Italian carriera, based on Latin carousel, wheeled vehicle.
Oh, and I wonder if that's got something to do with the carousel, which... You know, goes around and around, like many bloody careers, you know what I'm saying? Don't seem to...
Yeah.
Has there ever been a... There's definitely been... I was just thinking, you know, a sketch in which somebody... In which a carousel pony gets put down with a gun. That's definitely been done, right?
Oh, it feels like you would...
You know, The carousel's broken down or something. The kid's riding it, and then he, and then something breaks off, and the kid and his parents go over to the carny who's running the carousel and say, the leg's broken off the pony, and the guy's like, oh, and he gets out the shotgun, and he goes over and he
Look, I've written it down,
puts
even
up a
though
little
I.
Screen. And then he smashes it to death with the just with the butt of the gun. I don't know. What about this? Have we talked about... I feel like we've almost thought about this on the podcast, right? Almost. A horse... This is grim, Alistair. Okay?
Yeah.
A horse falls over and breaks its leg at the at the racetrack. And the... Trainer gets his shotgun and walks out onto the field, pulls out the little screen and shoots himself in the head because it was his favorite horse and he feels so bad for what he's done to it. Is that a sketch?
Well, I mean, I guess he could just stay on the sidelines and pull the curtain up.
Yeah, but now you got a little bit more. Well, you're right. He could. But then I think people would see where it was going early on. And that would make the sketch unnecessarily short and not give them enough opportunity to think about horse death before they think about human suicide. See, Alistair, you're missing a lot of the rich build-up and the comic potential of making people think about a dead horse before you kill a man.
Okay, I've written down horse death man suicide.
Pulling out the little screen. Yeah. It's like a little shower curtain. The other version is that he pulls it out and then
he gives the
horse a shower. I think it's on a little...
La da 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 da. Puts a little bathing cap on.
Yeah. Rubber ducky, this horse needs suds and so on. That would be quite funny to see. I think he would still have to shoot the horse at the end. You know, because
do you think he would shoot himself still as well?
And himself, yes. And then maybe some of the people in the crowd.
And then, but maybe then there would be that scene, you know, that shot where you see the blood going down the drain.
Very good.
It's a classic cinema. If you want to make cinema, you got to show blood going down a drain.
Yeah.
That's just the rules, buddy. That's in Aristotle's Poetics.
I mean, can we imagine a world in which every room, you know how, like, it feels like the idea
that
bathrooms could have, like, I like the idea of the bathroom where the shower bay is sort of just part of the floor, and the whole floor just drains down towards the drain, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it'd be so much easier to keep clean and everything. And you could then just have that in, like, if we'd really thought about it, we'd just have every room tiled. And there'd just be a drain in the corner of every room. Yeah. And vacuum cleaners like wouldn't be a thing. You just hose down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be great. I think when I was in Japan as well, the bathroom had the sense that you could hose the whole thing down.
Mm. The sense.
It felt like it was like a plastic, the whole thing was a plastic capsule that was placed inside a room.
Mm. It was just like a single, like, extruded plastic thing, a single piece, and it all can just be wiped down and hosed down. I want everything to be that. I want everything.
But why even let it be hosed down when you could just have it set up so there are jets everywhere, so that the jets are installed inside it that cover every single surface with high pressure water, so that you can just turn it on, psst, cleans everything, turn it off, boom, you're done.
All right. Why have that though, Alistair, when you could live in constantly running water, you know, just so you have around the walls, you have outlets, right? You have a drain in the middle of every room. And the water pours out from the bottom of the walls and flows towards the drain in the middle of the room. And it's like standing in a mountain stream at all times.
Or what if each room is kind of a little bit higher in the middle?
Yes. Yes.
And so that, the water just rolls down the walls at all times.
Yeah.
Right? And that there's just gutters on the edge of each thing. There's just drains on the edge, like just gutters that goes down to a flowing system.
Yeah,
you know, and that way you can just spit on the ground and you can do whatever. If you want a drink, you just hold your cup up against the wall. Imagine that, you'd be in bed.
Yeah,
you're like, I need some water.
You can just lick the wall, just, right? And it would be always clean because it's always flowing.
It's always flowing. Moss or anything like that can't grow in flowing water.
And do you want to piss or defecate? you just do that.
Just go
on the floor at it, and you know some of the turds, the big ones, they'll take a while to be.
They'll go.
They'll go eventually.
And there'll be that nice river smell in your house. Because you may as well just build your house under a river.
Yeah. I think that's an innovation. You know, why?
Yeah.
It's the house. We learned from human orifices that are self-cleaning, you know?
Or I guess you could really just have it so that, yeah, water's pouring down the walls, but you could also just have the whole house on an incline.
Yeah, okay.
So that water just passes over the floor the whole time.
That's...
Because that takes all the dust away.
Yep.
Straight away. Your kid drops food on the ground, carried away with the current.
Yep. Some of the smaller kids are carried away as well, if they fall, and they learn early.
If they fall. But that's why you have walls. Mm. We're not getting rid of all the walls.
That's why you have... Well, you have a grate, you know, around the edge to catch the young'uns. And then you can go around in the evening picking them out, dusting them off.
Well, and so you know how they say it only takes like... It only takes like half an inch of water to drown?
Mm. Well, then we just don't have half an inch.
Yeah, we just have
just under half an inch. That's so sad.
Three quarters of half an inch.
And, I mean, you could, if you wanted, wear sort of gumboots or something like that.
But why, when you could just finally be barefoot in your house at all times?
Correct. I suspect you wouldn't...
But here's the thing. You could finally, you know, let's say for cultures who think that people should take their shoes off when they come into the house, now you don't have to. So that makes them happy.
Yeah, they can have wet shoes.
Yeah. But, you know, they could be wearing those surfboard, you know, like sort of ocean shoes.
Well, they could be. They might not be. Mm. But now, you know, once upon a time, taking off your shoes when you went into somebody's house was them in a way saying, I don't want your dirty shoes in my house, right? Which feels very, you know, it's like, well, what's in it for me? Sure, your house won't be get dirty from my shoes, but now if I take off my shoes won't get clean from your house, you know? You've got a little sign beside your front door that says, please remove your shoes. Well, I have a little sign on my shoes that says, please let me wear these in your house. And that way I get to like wipe the dirt and stuff off the bottom of my shoes on your carpets.
Yeah.
Which is what I want. Right?
Please remove the dirt from my shoes.
Yeah, I thought that you were the host. I thought I was supposed to get something out of this. And now I'm happy to do all the work. But in the wet shoe house, the wet floor house, now I have a reason to remove my shoes. It's in my interest if I don't want them to get wet when I go inside. So you don't even need to sign. You know. Anyway.
But you're probably wearing, at this point, you're probably wearing ocean shoes.
Ocean shoes?
Yeah. I mean, I think that will be a period when maybe water from the ocean does come onto land from global warming.
Mm. Mm.
You know? And that there'll be that golden period when everybody will be like, this is actually really good.
Oh, the golden period.
Yeah, that golden period when the water's like under ankle height and all our floors are looking sparkly as.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. Nobody's talking about that on the climate... Because there's the climate denial movement who say it's not happening. There's the climate adaptation people who say it'll be more economically viable to just adapt. There's the people who, I think there's some people who say, it'll actually even be better than it currently is. But nobody's out there saying, it'll be worse, but it'll be better for a little bit. And therefore it's worth it. Thinking in the short term that it's going to be nice and the floors will be cleaner.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it's actually a much more accurate Like, these people are willing to do the work to prevent action on climate change for a bit.
Yeah.
And then really bring it in strong when things have gotten good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good.
Is the please let me wipe my dirt off on your carpet sign on your shoes?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that a sketch? I feel like that could be a really short one, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody shows you their sign, you show them yours, and then I guess you kiss, you know?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Kiss heaps.
We don't have enough romance in our sketches.
Mm. There's no... Oh, nah, this isn't a good angle to go down.
You don't think so?
Well, I was about to say that there's no... I was wondering if there could be a new kind of kissing that you do back to back, and it allows you to kiss people who you don't know who they are and never will.
So what, with the back of your head?
With the back of your head, yeah. Or maybe sort of rub the back of your necks together or something like that. But this is almost...
It'd be good. Could it be, rubbing necks like two giraffes fighting?
Yeah, yeah.
But backwards.
Yeah. And then you walk away.
Sure. I mean, could you have maybe like some of that back of the head skin shaved and then... sliced a little bit and plumped up to be like lips.
Oh, yes. Okay. get some implants under the skin to give
under
you a little,
the skin.
Under the skin. Down here it's lumpy. Yeah. You know.
You're feeling frumpy.
Get some little back of the neck lips for the goodbye kiss. For
the goodbye kiss. It's for when you're saying goodbye, but you don't have time to turn around.
You wouldn't have to make eye contact.
Well, especially for those who can't stand saying goodbye, looking at people, you know.
Mm. Yep. Is the back of the neck there the best place for it? I mean,
I was thinking middle of the. Middle of the back of the head.
Middle of the back of the head. Yeah. Yeah, but the skull is so, you know.
I know, but we're plumping it up.
We are plumping it up. You're right.
I think we're plumping it up, and I think it would be great if it was a bit of a suction cup.
Ah. Yeah, to get a little smackaroo kind of thing.
I think there's something attractive, like there'd be something hot and interesting about suction cupping up against somebody else's plump suction cup. Or when you're at home, pushing it up against the cool wall and making it make a farty sound.
Yeah, or even take the weight off your feet a little bit, right? If you could stick it up against the wall and just sort of hang there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know how good the suction cup technology we've got is, but if it could be as good as that one that guy uses to climb up the outside of buildings.
Well, I mean, if it would work really well, if you could put a little hole in the skull and just put in there like a little protective kind of rubbery thing, but then so that you could, if on the wall where you want a suction cup, there was also a little hook that could just go in the skull just a little bit and you could just hang off the bone a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
I could feel it, Alistair. I could feel it. Oh, I could feel the metal hook grinding up against the inside of my skull bone. as it takes the weight of my whole body.
As you feel like you're like, I can lift my feet now.
Yeah.
I think the skull would be able to handle it.
Mm.
It'd really like stretch out your neck a bit.
I hope the skull could handle it, because the skull, you know, the head, the brain, asks a lot of the rest of the body. And never, you know, it's always like, oh, a weight off my mind. But it's perfectly happy to put a weight onto the feet.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you on this.
Yeah, good, good.
I thought about this today. I don't think this is anything, but to one or to zero, that is the query.
Is that a computer programming thing?
Well, I guess it's a computer doing Hamlet.
Yeah, you're right. It is, isn't it? Yeah, one or zero. Yeah, that's good, Alistair. Because, you know, that's to be or to not to be. That's one and zero is the binary choice there. Alistair, yeah. I think you're onto something. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Yeah. No, well...
I had a look at the rest of the script. It's like there's the word sling in there or something like that. It's just, I don't know how I'm going to turn that into a robot thing, computer thing.
Alistair, but you don't have to. Were you planning to then rewrite the entirety of Hamlet in Boolean
make
logic?
Make it a bit more. I guess so, you know? Do you think it's enough? I guess I'll just
Boolean Hamlet.
It.
I think you should probably tweet it. Yeah.
All right.
Do we have any suggestions from a listener of the podcast?
Let me have a look. No, doesn't seem like it.
Oh, okay. Goodbye.
Well, I guess. no, we do.
Oh, great.
We've got heaps.
I love that. I love that about that.
But I think soon we're going to have to do a full suggestion episode.
You keep saying that. You keep threatening that.
It's not a threat. It's an actual want of mine. But this comes from Patreon supporter Joe Dunker.
Hi, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thinking about you and your family, Joe.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened to Joe, as far as I know. But it's nice to think about people, them and their family.
Yeah.
What do you think they look like?
I'm thinking about your family, too. Oh, One of your brothers is real tall.
Is it real? Yeah. And one of your legs is real hairy. Real hairy.
I'm not thinking about your legs, because that would be creepy, but I am thinking about one of your legs. No one ever got in trouble,
Andy,
for thinking about just one leg.
You know, I've been a bit quiet. I've been a bit quiet this episode, I think, but... This is a reality show called Real Hairy, and it's about somebody who I guess just doesn't have very much hair on their legs.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they go and get plugs on their legs.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's like, and it's donated hair. It would be easier to get short donated hair.
Well, you know, those shows, Extreme Makeover. As far as I'm aware, I've never seen it. It could have been a house thing. I don't know. But I have a feeling it was sort of plastic surgery and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was plastic surgery.
But it's always to make somebody look more like the standard, you know, the conventional standards of beauty. And that doesn't seem that extreme to me. But getting hair plugs on your legs to make them real hairy, that's extreme.
Yeah.
Or maybe just really one leg. Just one real hairy leg. Just getting male pattern baldness put in around your one knee. That's something.
Well, I mean, hair plugs might look a bit weird on the top of your head. I don't know. I don't know where the technology's at. But I know that nobody... No one will question them on your legs. Put the hair plugs where no one will question them.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I presume that those hair plugs, they could, in theory, put them anywhere on the body, right? There's no particular reason why they only work on the head. You could get that hair transplanted wherever you wanted, and why not in a sort of a curtain-like fringe above the genitals so that you wouldn't need clothes? You could sure. just have a sort of a long waterfall of hair hanging down.
Genital bangs.
Genital bangs.
Yeah. See, this is the kind of stuff. I mean, custom hair plugs.
Mm.
Where you can get them, you know, in between your toes. Mm. Who knows? You know, that area can...
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Because, I don't know. You know, sometimes that area, you get, like, dry skin in there because you never dry in between there?
Mm.
Well, maybe that hair would stop that from happening.
You get
maybe.
Dry skin in there because you never dry in there. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you know, yeah, so like, have you ever checked in between your toes?
Oh, it's no good in there, Alistair. It's hard for me to go down.
Yeah. It's no good in there. I can't even look at it. Well, I think if you had hair in between there, I think it would just keep things clean. You know, the friction in there would...
Mm, I hope so.
Would tidy things up.
Or it'd be real bad.
Yeah, it could be worse, but we won't know until you go to Real Hairy.
Okay, Alistair. Joe Dunker. Joe, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon and sending us these
Joe
three
Dunker,
words.
We appreciate it. Joe Dunker's three words are, I'm Andy Trombley Birchall.
I'm Andy Trombley Birchall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yes, he's fucking with us.
Oh, he's fucking with
us.
That's
for absolutely.
Sure.
That's got to be acknowledged at the outset. Maybe
think,
the biggest
what
one
about
we've ever had.
Sketch. What about a sketch where it's the first male baby?
Yeah.
So it's like just two guys. They've mixed their sperm together.
Yep.
It was actually two buddies who just figured out how to do it in their garage.
Oh, a buddy baby.
Yeah, but it was a buddy baby, and that they don't raise with their wives. They both also have wives.
Yeah. Yep. So they're heterosexual.
They're heterosexual.
Alistair, I like this so much. I like this so much. The fact that two friends, and this will happen in the future, by the way, the traditional family will, you know, whatever that ever was, if it ever was a thing, that's out. And now it's truly democratized, and now any form of relationship has the potential to bear child. And I'm excited.
You know, I think, especially, like, you could picture it. It could be as simple as both guys just... You know, put a bit of their stuff into this little, to this cup that has a lid.
Yep.
Right?
And a lid, and yeah. It's just I love how much you've thought about this technology.
I reckon there's already a powder in there.
Yep.
Don't eat that. Don't eat that powder.
Do jizz right? into it.
Both guys, tastefully ejaculated there.
Not around each other. They're heterosexual. They're not interested in that. They just
want to
have
curtain.
Each other's baby.
They're going to share a baby. They're going halves in a baby, right? And then you just shake it.
Mm.
You shake it for a while and you leave it overnight.
Yeah, and then you never shake it again.
No,
that's the last time you can shake a baby.
To be honest, it was a flaw, but they did that as a joke.
That's the name
of the
product. It's called Shaker Baby.
Shake once, baby. Shake a baby once.
That's so beautiful. And then what? It bursts open in the night, and then there they have it, a newborn.
I guess then they've got to put it somewhere to incubate it.
I think maybe in the fridge, maybe it needs to set like jelly. Maybe it sort of comes in a, like crystals, like
yeah,
like jelly crystals. You mix a bit of like jizz in monkeys. There, you pour some boiling water in, and then you pour it into a mold that's the shape of a baby, and yeah. You put it in the fridge and it sets overnight, and then in the morning you take it out, you warm it up by the fire, and it opens its eyes, and there you got yourself
that powder,
a friend baby.
That powder, the powder is just, you know, freeze-dried stem cells.
Yeah.
And if you put it in the mold, those stem cells recognize the rough location. They go, yeah. Oh, we know where we are. I know what to do.
They work it out.
And I reckon you could probably, maybe you don't keep it in the fridge, but you could like keep it in like your smoker.
Oh yeah, that's probably true.
Your meat, you know, like your meat smoking cabin or
so
whatever you got.
It comes out a little bacony, the baby?
Yeah, at first. It was that great baby smell. Every baby has...
What is that, hickory?
Great baby smell.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hickory. Instead of, hickory smoked bacon.
This is the best idea we've ever come up with on the podcast, and I want to thank Joe Duncan.
No, somebody tweeted, Two in the Think Tank bot on Twitter. Follow Two in the Think Tank bot on Twitter. Is this one run by Brian, or is this one run by Jason?
I think that might be a Jason.
That's a Jason one. Of course it's a Jason. Jason, thank you very much. Please, listeners, follow Tune the Think Tank bot, and it tweets out sketches from different episodes. And I think the best one, to my mind, was a guy who will fuck anything that moves is used to find a static point in the universe.
Yeah, I did see that, actually. And I thought, man, that works. That absolutely... stands up.
We found something he won't fuck. This must be the one static point.
We found
the place where it all began.
A true reference frame from for all motion.
But, hey, imagine that. Do you think that would be like that would exist? Like somewhere in the universe, there might just be the hole where the universe started from.
The hole that it all came out of. Yeah, it could be. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't thought about that either.
Hmm. Oh, well, now I'm thinking
about
it.
Let's say, like, the hole where the, you know, maybe we all came out of that black hole or something.
Hmm. Cool. And then we could maybe go through.
Maybe. Into a black hole.
Oh, see what's on the other side, see where we came from.
Oh, yeah, you put your finger through first.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Which finger?
Eh?
Which finger would you put through?
Just one you don't need, like your thumb.
You don't need your thumb. Fuck you. I'd dip a toe in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which toe? One you don't need, your thumb.
Yeah, my thumb. All right, Alistair. Can you take us through the sketches we've come up with today?
Okay, here we go. We got musical duo join comedy duo. Paul Simon and David Mitchell paint lions statues from driveway entrances. But basically, we split up. We split up, take one person from a musical duo and take one person from a comedy duo, and they have to make an art or something. They could build a house together.
Yeah.
I mean... You telling me that this isn't a great TV show? People would watch this.
Fuck yeah. Yep.
And it's all of them, and they have to make something, and then at the end sell it.
It's called a do-over. Yeah,
whichever.
It's the show's called the do-over, right?
That's very good.
And we get halves of duos, and they renovate a house.
I think it's good. We got do stuff with Picassos and make a smoothie and put it on commercial TV so it's not art.
Yeah. As we said, you know, there could be a sketch in there somewhere. We're not ruling it out.
I think the idea of putting something on commercial TV so it's not art is funny. But I think maybe the main thing is turn a Picasso into a smoothie and drink it, but do it on commercial TV so it's not art. But that would be such a... It's still such an artwork to find a way to make it not art.
It's hard. The universe doesn't want you to do
that. More spectacle makes it less art?
I feel like Andre Roux has really gone a long way towards making classical music not art.
Yeah.
And and I think spectacles are probably a big part of it. Yes.
Oh no, Andy, you're cutting out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm still here. Keep talking. Can you not hear me?
I can't really hear you anymore.
Oh, keep reading the bits. Keep reading. Just go through them.
I'll shut this down and call you back.
Oh, well,
hello, everybody.
Look, everybody.
Calling Andy back.
His phone call cut out. Something went wrong with the phone call.
Probably not going to edit this out.
But I'm still talking. I hope you kept recording on your end, Alistair.
Yeah, I kept recording and I kept talking as well. So we'll just be talking over each other.
Yeah, I kept talking as well. Good on us for both filling that dead air. I think that's a great idea. No, you go.
I told them we're probably not going to edit this out, so I'm sorry.
I think we should keep recording the podcast remotely, but just remove the phone call component, and we both just talk for roughly an hour, and then we lay the tracks over the top. You know, we can leave space for the other one to say something.
I think that's good. But then sometimes, we might just talk in each other's spaces, which will be interesting.
Well, we do that sometimes anyway.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, I do
that. The next sketch idea is Chunkies.
Mm.
It's a place that makes smooth things.
Yep.
Into
chunky stuff.
Into chunky things.
That's almost sort of what they do at bubble tea places when they chuck those little tapioca balls in there.
I guess you're right. It's an opposite of a smoothie place. They take tea, which is normally very smooth.
Mm.
But we're doing it with savory dishes.
Would you consider water to be smooth?
Would you consider water to be savory?
Don't know.
Obviously the ocean is savory water.
Mm.
But what about fresh water?
I don't know, man. I guess that's the fresh neutral flavor. That's the neutral flavor we were talking about. True plain.
Neutral flavor is tongue.
Mm, yeah.
All right, we got Blandy's. It's the supermarket, which is all texture, no flavor.
It's texture's time to shine.
We got the spice merchant traveling with vanilla
mm.
to be told that it's just plain.
That's something there.
We got shooting damaged carousel horse.
Yep.
We got horse death man suicide.
Yes.
But I think the main idea here is
the
horse
bubble
gets injured during a horse race, then the man puts up a curtain and gives it a shower or a bath.
Yep.
Then we got water flow house, which is just water continues flowing through a house with different ways you can have water flowing in your house to make things cleaner and easier.
It's a very two in the think tank idea.
Yeah, and then the slight side idea to that is that will just happen automatically in the early stages of climate change, oceans rising, and some group of people are aiming for that.
Because they can see
the
benefits.
Then we've got the please let me remove dirt from my shoes on your carpet shoe sign.
Yes.
Then we've got the back of the head lips for the goodbye kiss and potential hook hole.
Mm. Yep.
Then we've got Real Hairy. It's a place or a reality television show where you can get plugs
anywhere on
any
your body.
Hair. Anywhere on your body, including getting genital bangs.
You can get them anywhere on your body, but not on your head.
You know where you could get it? Get a fucking big one of those big horsehair tails.
Mm.
Are those horsehair tails? Yeah. Do they have any spine in them?
I don't know if there's a little bit of stump in there. I feel like there must be something. But we would have seen it.
Guess they
we
can...
would have seen a shaved horse's bum if that was the case, with a little stump. But then they can lift it up.
Do they...
How do they lift it up?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be a stump there, unless they can control hair like a snake charmer. They could whistle and get it to rise.
That's what they do.
And then we got Buddy Babies.
Buddy Babies. That could be the name of the podcast.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. It could be a Buddy Baby episode.
Oh, you reckon?
Buddy, 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 Buddy Baby episode. Buddy, 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 Buddy Baby episode. I got my buddy pregnant. I got Buddy Babies coming out of all of my places. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. We really do appreciate it. I have been Andy Matthews, and you can find me on Twitter at StupidOldAndy.
And I have been Alistair George William Chobley Bridgel. You can find me at AlistairTB, and you can find us at Two in Tank. We recorded Magma the other day, and it will be available probably within the next few weeks. So if you're interested, check our Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and we'll have details. But we'll probably announce when it's actually ready in the next... And when in the episode that follows.
Correcto.
And maybe the episode after that. And then tell your friends and get them all to purchase it to solve
as
Andy's multiple...
As a prank. It'll be so hilarious. You can punk us by doing it.
Buy it for everybody in your company. spend the company dollar on it.
That's right. Company dime.
Get your boss to go... You say, should we hire a comedian for $1,000 or something like that for the annual general meeting? You say, don't waste your money on that because we all don't want to see it at the annual general meeting. But buy us all a copy that we can watch in bed later on and masturbate. No, or do whatever you want. Just watch.
You are doing so well, Alistair.
I know. Yeah, I did that stupid thing. But you know what I mean. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And we... Love
you.
Bye.
Cheers.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.